and of love. We've come to this place to thank Him for Jesus and the gospel. We thank Him for the Holy Spirit and the Church of Christ. We thank Him for blessing us to be able to assemble and to speak a word from His word. For we recognize that His word is right. We recognize the power of the gospel to save the souls of men. I want to express my genuine appreciation to Brother Mitchell for the invitation to come and to share with you the word of God. Someone has said that if it is new, it is not true. And if it is true, it is not new. I don't have any new thing to bring to anyone. Just that old time gospel. That gospel which was preached on the day of Pentecost. That gospel which was preached throughout the known world in the first century. And that gospel which has come to this city, Kingston. That same old gospel that has the power to save mankind. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm planning to have a good time even as I preach this gospel. Because I know that when God's people get together, oh, what a time. What a wonderful time. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that you are indeed our honored guest. And if someone here does not treat you with kindness and respect, just conclude that they are not members of the Patrick City Church of Christ. For they come from somewhere else. Because I know this church has been taught how to treat people, how to respect and honor all men. I want to go back to the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter. I want to look at verse number 25 in this text. I want you to think for just a moment from Paul's epistle to the Corinthian church when he said, "Now all these things happen unto them for an example. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." We're going back to the Old Testament today to gain some edification, to receive some admonition, and then to try and make what we call a New Testament application to an Old Testament text. Are you in Proverbs 16? Bible says in verse number 25.
There is a way.
There is a way.
That seemeth right
that
unto
seemeth
a man.
That seemeth right unto a man.
But the end thereof.
But the end thereof.
Are the ways of death.
Are the ways of death. I want to address the subject. Things that seem the same. But are not. The same. Things that seem the same, but are not the same. We experience this so much in our lives today. Many times we see things and we purchase things. Sometimes we purchase things that are real. Genuine or authentic. And then we find out later that it was a fake, a copy, or a replica. Think about fake jewelry, costume jewelry, if you please. Sometimes it's sold at a high price, only to find out that it's really not what we thought it was. We can easily be taken in. As a matter of fact, the last time I was here, I walked out of a hotel room and walked down the street, and a gentleman approached me wanting to sell me some jewelry. I didn't know if it was fake or real. So the best thing for me to do was pass up the deal. And I just believe when you don't know if something is genuine or not, it's best you go on about your business until you can find out that it's real. Oh, for some reason, people think that everybody that claims some form of religion or another is all right with God. They don't realize that Satan is out to counterfeit religion and to deceive the hearts of people. All of us need to understand today that Satan is not your friend. Satan doesn't want to see you saved. Satan wants your soul to be lost. And I believe today that we need to check out whatever men say in matters of religion. We should not just accept something because it seems right. We ought to accept it because we know it is right. Jesus Christ himself gave us many warnings about false prophets and false teachers. Come to the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15. Be it known today that we must examine every claim that men make today. The Bible says, beware of false prophets which come to you
in sheep's
clothing.
But inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Jesus puts us on the alert. Jesus said, beware. And whenever you see the word beware, that tells me that something needs to be observed. Something needs to be taken a look at. When I look at the word beware, have you ever gone to a home and you approach a door, and on that door you saw a sign that said beware? Now the first thing you think, something must be on the other side of that door. And when you see this word, beware, it may follow with a few other words. Beware of dogs. Have you ever seen anything like this? I remember one time we were out knocking doors in a place called Grand Rapids, Michigan. It was winter. Snow was falling from the sky in the month of December. And I walked up to this door and I saw the sign that says, beware of dogs. And I knocked on the door. And when the lady opened the door, a dog stood up as tall as I stood. And I said to the lady, I said, woman, you need to change your sign. Your sign says, beware of dog. Oh, no, you ought to put up there, beware of big dog. Are you all catching it? Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. What is Jesus trying to tell us? Jesus is trying to get our attention. Every preacher, every
prophet that comes along has not been sent by God Almighty. Every preacher that calls himself a preacher is not a sent preacher. And I thought I would tell you there's a difference between a sent preacher and a went preacher. And you need to know the difference between a sent preacher and a went preacher. Well, what's the difference between a sent preacher and a went preacher? If a preacher has been sent, look at the book of Acts chapter number 5. Acts 8 rather. And verse number 5. I need to show you the difference between a sent preacher and a went preacher. Acts 8 and verse 5.
Then
the Bible
Philip went down to the city of Samaria.
To the city
of Samaria,
and preached
Christ unto them.
Now what did Philip preach? Philip preached Christ. A sent preacher will preach Christ. Well, what does that mean to preach Christ? Does it mean to say Christ? 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 Jesus? 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 What does it mean to preach Christ? Look at verse number 12. The Bible says,
But when they believed the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ,
they were baptized,
both men and women.
Both men and women. What does it mean to preach Christ? It means to preach the thing concerning the kingdom of God, which, by the way, is the church that Jesus built. The church of Christ that Jesus built. Not only do you preach the things of the kingdom, you preach the name of Christ, and you preach baptism into Christ. If you don't preach this, you are not preaching Christ. Any preacher that says he's been sent ought to preach this. If he doesn't preach this, he has not been sent. He just went. Well, I'm not finished. Watch Acts 5:8 and verse 35. The Bible said, then
Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And preached unto him Jesus.
Now, what will a went preacher do? I know what a sent preacher will do. He will preach Jesus. He will preach Christ. He will preach the thing concerning the kingdom of Christ. He will preach the name of Christ. He will preach baptism into Christ. And he will begin at the same scripture. Now, that's a sent preacher. Oh, don't make me go all over the Bible. It's Romans 10 and verse number 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Isn't that good news? You see, a sent preacher will preach the scriptures and the things of God. But a went preacher. I said a went preacher. A preacher that has not been sent. He'll make you feel good. He'll take you over in the graveyard. And he'll start telling you stuff like this. One day, there was a man named Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. One day, Abraham died and was buried. The next day Isaac died and was buried. And the next day Jacob died and was buried. Well, when Abraham died, they dug 1 foot for Abraham. When Isaac died, they dug 2 feet for Isaac. And when Jacob died, they dug 3 feet for Jacob. And Abraham rolled over in the grave and touched old Isaac. And Isaac rolled over in the grave and touched old Jacob. Well, you see, about the time folk get emotionally stirred, they start shouting all over the pew. But the fact of the matter is this. When Abraham died, they didn't dig 1 foot for Abraham, nor 2 feet for Isaac, nor 3 feet for Jacob. That's just stuff to make you feel good. It's nowhere in the Bible. You see, that's a wimp. A wimp preacher, he quotes pretty poetry to stir your emotional system up. But a sent preacher, he quotes the word of God, the scripture. So what have you come here to hear this week? Have you come to hear a sent preacher or a wimp preacher? You determine that by what I preach. You will know if I'm a sent preacher or a wimp preacher. God will have us to understand that men must preach His word if mankind is going to be saved. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24 and look at verse number 4. Because the Bible is right, men need to know what God put in His word. Matthew 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered
and said unto them,
Take heed
that no man deceive you.
Did you catch it? Jesus in one place said, beware. Now He says, take heed. Why should I take heed? I take heed because I don't want any man to deceive me. I do not want to be deceived. Watch them in verse number 24. This is not something that's made up. This is in the book. The Bible said,
For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets.
And shall show great signs and wonders.
If it were possible.
They shall deceive the very elect. Why are all of these warnings in the Bible? Why does God tell us to beware and take heed? Because God knows that if we're not careful, we'll get tossed to and fro. And we will be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Mankind needs to understand that things that seem the same but are not the same ought to be pointed out in matters of religion. There are so many people that are going on their feelings in matters of religion. If it feels good, do it, they say. Did you catch it? If it feels good, do it, they say. I'm talking about these wimp preachers. They will tell you if it feels good to you, you ought to do it. But we know, unfortunately, that's not what God says. God is not interested in how good it feels to us. God wants us to know what is right. It was Jesus who said, as He spake to some Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said that in John 8, verses 31 and 32. Now, what is it that's going to make us free? Jesus said, truth will make us free. So we don't need to guess about what we are doing in religion. We need to know what we are doing. I know that many preachers are now leading in this race regarding feeling good. They are champions of a system that I believe that God is not pleased with. Oh yes, they want to make you feel good. But watch the book of Galatians, chapter 1 and verse 10. The Bible is right. Paul said, "For do I now persuade me, or God, or do I seek to please me? For if I yet
please men,
please me, I should not be
the servant
of Christ." Servant of Christ. Did you catch what Paul said? If I seek
to
please men,
I should not be the servant of Christ.
The servant of Christ. Now watch this. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to preach God's word. Now if by preaching God's word I please you, that's all right. But if by preaching God's word I don't please you, I'm not going to worry about it. Because my job is here to preach the word of God. I didn't come here to make sure I make a whole lot of friends. I came here to preach God's word. Now if by preaching God's word I make a whole lot of friends, then happy am I. Did you catch it? Oh yes, I believe the Bible ought to be preached. Whether men accept it or reject it, it ought to be preached. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. Oh, I'll be back to Proverbs 16 verse 25 in a few minutes. Because I told you that a preacher will begin at the same scripture and preach Jesus. Did I not tell you that? Well, I began with Proverbs 16:25. Isn't that right? Well, if I'm a gospel preacher, what am I going to do with Proverbs 16:25? I'm going to preach Christ. I'm going back to that passage and deal with it. Because we need to see what God is saying. Now notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37.
If any man,
think himself
to be a prophet, or spiritual, let him acknowledge,
that the things that I write unto you
are the commandments of God, of the Lord.
Amen. Now notice, Paul said the things that I write. You get it? The things that I write unto you are the commandments
of the Lord.
Now this is very important. Because people need to know what is written came from the Lord. So when you hear something in this meeting, don't attack me if it's in the book. Because the commandments came from the Lord. All I'm doing is pointing out what the Lord has already said. So Paul is telling the Corinthian church, what I'm writing, I'm not writing of my own will. I'm not writing of myself. I'm writing the commandment that the Lord gave me. So people need to understand today that whatever we preach, if it's rightly divided, it's the commandment of the Lord. Can you all deal with that? Can you live with that? I don't want you up in here thinking that I'm making this stuff up, honey. It's in the book. And if it's not in the book, for doctrine, I shouldn't preach it. But if it's in the book, I better preach it. Because if not, God is going to deal with me. And since I want to go to heaven, since I want to make heaven my home, I need to stand here and tell you the truth. Go back to Proverbs. Let's look at this thing again. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. And then we're going over to Proverbs 14 and verse number 12. We're going to look at both of these verses. Proverbs 16 and verse 25.
There is a way.
The Bible said there is
a way.
A way.
That seemeth right.
That seemeth right.
Unto a man.
Unto a man.
But the end.
But the end. Thereof.
Are the ways of
death. Are the ways of death. There is a way. That seemeth right. Now you need to watch this. There is a way that seemeth right. I don't know about you. I don't want a seem right way. I want a no right way. I want a way that I know is right. I don't want to feel that is right. I don't want it to seem like it's right. Man, I want to know that is right. But now watch in Proverbs 14 and 12. Proverbs 14 and 12. We know 16, 25 said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now watch Proverbs 14, 12.
There is a way.
There is a way.
Which seemeth right
which
unto a man.
Which seemeth right unto a man.
But the end thereof.
But the end thereof.
Are the ways of death.
Are the ways of death. Did you catch it? Now in chapter 16 and verse 25. It says there is a way that seemeth right. Unto a man. But the end thereof. Are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, 12 says. There is a way which seemeth right. Unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. My question is this. Why would God put the same passage in the Bible two times? Did you catch it? Why would God say the same thing twice? Well, let me help you. You know you have some hard-headed children, don't you? Some of you got some. You know what a hard-headed child is? I'm just trying to make sure you understand me because I want to understand you. A child that's hard-headed is a child that won't listen. And sometimes you tell that hard-headed child something more than one. And when you tell it to them one time and they don't hear it, and you tell it to them again and they don't hear it, man, some consequences are coming. Now, the first time you tell it to them, you may be nice. Go to your room. Time out. Isn't that right? But the second time you tell it, it's not time out anymore. It's not go to your room anymore. It's bring me. When we were growing up, we had to go get our own switches. I really wanted to say sticks. Because a switch couldn't help some of us. You know what a little switch? No. Some of us need a limb. What the Lord is trying to tell us is this. I'm serious about what I say. There is a way that seems right. But let me tell you, just because it seems right doesn't make it right. Let me tell you what I've done. I looked up that word, seemeth right. It's from a Hebrew word, poni. And that word is spelled like this. That word, ponies. And I want you to see this. It means the face. Watch this. As the part that turns. There is a way that seemeth right. It is the face as the part that turns. Now watch this. If you look in a person's face and that person starts turning his face, you may think when you first see that person, you know them. But as they turn the face, you can't really make out who they are. Now watch what the Bible is teaching us. God's word is right. Did you hear me? Or I could go to Psalm 33 and verse 4 and say the word of the Lord is right and all of his works are done in truth. I know his word is right. But when men start turning it, are you getting it? When men start twisting it, you can't make it out anymore. But if you leave it face to face, you can get it. So there is a way that seemeth right. But when men start turning what God says, then they distort what God says. And when people start distorting what God says, it's not any power to it anymore. They diluted it and it can't do what God sent it out to do. Oh yes, it's the appearance that we ought to be concerned about. When it comes down to God's word, we ought to recognize what God says. This is mainly what the proverbial writer is saying about God's way and God's word. We cannot afford to turn it or to twist it. We need to leave it like the Lord gave it. Well, preacher, before you close this morning, I want to know, what do you mean, things that seem the same, but are not the same? I want to know, what kind of things are you talking about? Things that seem the same, but are not the same. Well, if you all don't mind, let me give you a couple of things that seem the same, but are not the same. Do you all have time for me to do this? You know, a whole lot of folk talk about being baptized. A whole lot of people talk about being converted. Well, let me tell you something. Being baptized is not the same as being born again. Now, I want you to catch it. I know when a person is baptized, if they are taught the word of God, if they are taught the prerequisites to baptism, they get saved. I believe that with all of my heart. But I also believe that just because a person gets baptized does not mean that person is born again. You see, some things must happen before you get baptized in order for you to be born again. Now, it might seem like being baptized means being born again. But let me show you what's in the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Don't expect me to do something that God did not tell me to do. Now, a person can get baptized and not get born again. Well, how do you know? Well, I remember growing up in the Delta of Mississippi. Down in Mississippi, we had a place called the Levee. And out there on the levee was a lot of water. Are you all paying attention? And man, my brothers and I would go out in the levee, and sometime we would go to the swimming pool. And when we get out there in the water, my brother would raise his hand. He would say, "Baptize Peter, baptize Paul, baptize thee in the name of the Lord." And my brother would take me down and he'll bring me up. Man, I got baptized so many times, I'm telling you, I ought to be the straightest person in the world. And then, man, it would be my turn. And I'd throw my hand up. We were just little boys. I would say, "Baptize Peter, baptize Paul, baptize Kenneth in the name of the Lord." And I'd take him down and I'd bring him up. Man, my brother got baptized a lot of times. But let me show you the problem with it. The problem with those baptisms, oh, they were baptisms. Because we went under the water. We were buried under the water. They were baptisms. But the problem had to do with what took place before the baptism. Well, what happened before the baptism? Go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and let me show you what happened before the baptism. It didn't happen in our case, but it happened in Jesus' case. Now watch this. And Jesus came faith unto them, saying,
All power
is given unto
me,
in heaven and in earth. Heaven and in earth.
Go ye therefore,
and
teach all nations.
Teach. Wait a minute. Let's stop right there. What did Jesus tell them to do?
Teach.
He said, go and
teach.
Teach. Before you baptize anybody, they ought to be
teaching.
Taught. If we don't teach them, we don't baptize them.
Sorry.
A whole lot of people been baptized, but they have not
been taught.
My brother was baptized a lot of times, but he was not taught. I've been baptized a lot of times, but I was not taught. Now watch this. There is no difference between what my brother and I did and what a lot of people do up in these churches. The only difference is they are in a church building and we were out at the levee. They are not getting taught up in these churches, and my brother and I were not being taught out at the levee. Did you catch it? Now don't act like I'm making up this stuff. I know what happened with my brother and I. And Lord knows I know what I'm reading. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing
them in the name of the Father.
Holy.
And the
Holy. Good reader, Lord, to push the preacher. Holy. I want to say something. You teach and you baptize. Before you baptize, you teach. If you don't teach, you don't baptize. A lot of people are getting baptized, but they're not getting taught. Now go to Mark 16. You can hold that if you want to. I'll be back. Because things that seem the same but are not the same need to be pointed out. Being baptized and being born again seem the same, but they're not the same. And I need to show you this. In Mark 16 and verse 15, watch what we ought to preach.
And he said unto them,
he said unto them,
go ye into the world.
Go ye
and
into
preach
all the world.
And preach.
And preach
the gospel to every
creature. Wait a minute. What am I going to preach?
The gospel.
I'm going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Now every time I baptize my brother, or my brother baptized me, the gospel was never preached. We were never taught the gospel. People are being baptized in these churches, but they are never taught the gospel. Now, what do you mean by the gospel? A whole lot of people don't understand the gospel. You know, people say, well, that's good news. Well, let me just tell you something. When I finish preaching and I'm thirsty, this water is good news for my thirst. But this water won't save my soul. When I finish preaching, Brother Mitchell is going to give me a little money. And to my bill collectors, that's good news. But that money won't save my soul. So the gospel isn't just good news. The gospel is a specific kind of good news. It's a specific kind. What kind of good news is it? What's specific about it? I'll tell you, God became man, died, was buried, and arose again the third day from the dead according to the scriptures. And if we don't preach this, men are not going to be saved. So what are you going to go preach? You're going to preach the gospel. This specific good news. God became man. He died, he was buried, and he arose again the third day, and now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's awaiting a return. See, all of that needs to be preached. When you talk about preaching the gospel and teaching men about salvation, if they don't get this, they don't get born again. And everybody needs to get this. Well, preacher, are you saying we don't need to be baptized? That's not what I'm saying. We need to be baptized. But there is something that precedes baptism. You hear the gospel. You believe the gospel. You repent of your sin. You confess Jesus Christ. And then you get baptized. If you all don't mind, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them
in the name of the,
in the name of the Father. That's by the authority of the Father. In the name of the Son. That's by the authority of the Son.
And of the Holy Ghost.
And of the Holy Ghost. That's by the authority of the Holy Ghost. In other words, whatever we do, we must be authorized by God to do it. And then we can't leave it up to men. We must do it God's way.
That's right.
And then after you get baptized, verse 20 says, teaching them. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't just get baptized. Hang around here long enough to find out how to stay saved. Once you get saved, you need to learn how to stay saved.
That's right.
A lot of people get saved, but they don't learn how to stay saved. That's why it is important that we give them a second teaching. Teach them enough the first time to get them in Christ. But the second time is a lifelong process. I've been preaching for 31 years, and I'm still learning. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and the heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We must continue to learn his word. Let me go over to Acts 3:19. I need to point this out. I'll be finished when I get finished. I need to point this out. I don't know. I may not be able to joke with you all like I do other places. Listen, man, for years, when the gospel found me in 1976, y'all have heard of this word, incarcerated. Well, incarcerated is a fancy word for being locked up in jail. So they try to dignify a jailbird. So they say, well, I was incarcerated. No, brother, you were behind bars. Isn't that all right with you all? You see, real preachers have to preach real stuff because we have a real word. So I was doing 15 years behind bars when the gospel found me. I got in trouble. I was 19 years old and I went to jail. That's prison. I mean, I was sentenced to 15 years. And the gospel found me. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get it. Because when the gospel found me, it changed my life. And a lot of times we look at life and we thank God for what he's done for and how far he's brought us. And how he's really made a difference in our lives. That's why when I talk to the young people about falling off cloud nine and other high places, I explain all of that time in that. Because I want a lot of young people to understand that God can make a difference in your life. So I've been doing this now for 31 years. Man, the Lord blessed me to come from under that incarceration, to get out from behind those bars, to live a productive life for Him. For 31 years, I've been proclaiming this same old gospel, and I thank God for it. But I could not have done that had it not been for a change. That's why Acts 3:19 is important to me. And I need you to see it. Peter said, repent ye therefore,
and be converted.
Watch this. And be converted.
That your sins may be blotted out.
That your sins may be blotted out.
When the times of refreshing
of refreshing
shall come from the presence
from
of the
Lord. Presence of the Lord. Now, did you get that part? He said, repent ye. What does that word repent mean? It means really to have a different mind. That's literally what it means, to have a different mind. So on your way to get baptized, you need to change your mind about how your life is. On your way to get baptized, you need to change your mind about how you are living your life. When you change your mind, when you have a different mindset, you can confess Jesus to be the Son of God. And when you go down in that water to get converted, you can get born again. I looked up that word converted. It comes from a Greek word, epistrepho. Epistrepho simply means to turn. What God wants you to do is turn before you burn. Did you get it? I said before you burn. Hell is still in the body. Oh, I'm not trying to scare you. It's a fact. You see, watch this. When Adam sinned, Adam could go to work before he sinned and work as long as he wanted to work and never sweat. Did you catch it? But after he sinned, Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. And did y'all catch that? Now, in order for Adam to eat, no. He had to work at first. God put him in the garden in Genesis 2:15 to work. He's always had a job. Adam had a job before he had a wife. I don't want to get off on this, but I do want to tell you, young men, before you take a woman, take a job. I feel like meddling. Y'all know what meddling is? I feel like meddling. Because every now and then a man will take a wife. Let me tell you what I had to do with my son. One of my sons, beautiful young man. He had gone to the Navy, man, gotten out of the Navy, honorable discharge. I mean, beautiful young man, just as nice as he wants to be. He said, well, Dad, I'm coming up to Michigan. I'm going to live with you all for a little while. I said, okay. And man, he was standing. And I said, well, this boy is going to live with us. I'm wondering when he's going to get up. Going to get a job, you know. So he's just living, man, just living. So one morning I woke him up kind of early. I said, hey, man, let's go somewhere. He said, well, Dad, where are we going? I said, I'm going to get you a job. Put him in the car, went and got him a job. Are y'all listening? And I say, well, I'm going to let him work on the job a little while, save him a little money up, you know, and then when he gets him a little stack, save it up, you know, and then he can get on out on his own. But he's just making his money, and he's just still at the house. So I got him up one morning. I said, well, hey, son, let's go somewhere. He said, Daddy, where are we going? And we were riding down the street, and I saw this hotel. It said weekly rate. I said, I'm taking you to your new home. I mean, I thought after all, if I raised him at least, man, I have fulfilled my obligation before God. You see, ladies, sometimes you marry a man, you have to take him to get a job. Why, watch this. You know what? Adam didn't just go in the garden on his own. The Bible said, and the Lord took him. You don't believe me? Read Genesis 2:15. Y'all don't believe me? That's why I have to let you read it. Go back there and read it. I'm not making this up. Some men won't work. You have to take them. I'll get back to this in a minute. I'm just strolling. I'm strolling.
And the Lord took the man.
Oh, no, it didn't say the Lord took it.
And the Lord took the man.
Oh, it said the Lord took the man and did what with it?
And put him in,
in
the garden.
In the garden.
To dress it.
To dress it.
And keep
and
it.
And to keep it. The Lord took it. Sometime when your boys get 18 and 19 years old, you have to take them to get a job. I did it for mine. Lord have mercy. The Bible is right. And I'm trying to let you know today, when it comes down to being changed, the only thing that can change you is the Word of God. I tell people, I don't convert people. Oh, I preach to them, I teach to them. But let me tell you, in Psalm 19 and verse 7, the Bible says, for the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What is it that converts the soul? It's the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is the word of the Lord.
That's right.
So the word of the Lord converts people. So what is it that converted me? It was the word of God. I said it was the word of God. I read 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten thee through the gospel. How were they begotten? Through the gospel. It's the gospel that converts people and begets people. In James 1 and verse 18, he said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Did you catch it? I know the Bible is right. And I'm not worried about what men say, because the Bible is right. What is it that converts the souls of men? It's the word of God. God's word is right, and it cannot be wrong. So when it comes down to being born again, oh, I looked up, oh, that being born again, this being born again is a word Jesus uses as regeneration. Regeneration. If you're going to be regenerated, you must allow God's word to come into your heart. And when his word comes in John 3 and verse 5, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water
and of the Spirit,
he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what is it that we must be born of? We must be born of water and of the Spirit. Where, how are we born of the Spirit? Where the Holy Spirit uses an agent by the Word, called the Word of God. This Holy Spirit uses the Word. And when the Word comes into us, the Word starts changing us and moving us to the water so we can be baptized and converted. Now watch in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 17. I'm almost finished. Don't go to sleep on me. I'm almost finished. The Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation,
and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Which is the word of God. Now what does the sword of the Spirit do? It produces the word of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the word. The word of God comes into our hearts. That's why Luke 8:11 said the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So when we plant the seed in the hearts of men, that seed starts growing in us. That seed starts changing us. And when we get to the point of repentance and confession, we go down in the water. get our sins washed away, and now we are converted. We are now a part of the church of Christ. You see, Jesus built one church. Now I know there's a difference between the church that Jesus built and denominations that men have built. You see, they may seem the same, but they are not the same. Well, how do you know they are not the same? Number one, Christ built the church of Christ, and men built denominations. Number two, Christ built the church of Christ in the city of Jerusalem, and men built denominations all over the world. You see the difference. When the church of Christ was built, the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. And when the churches of men denominations were built, no Holy Spirit came down. There's a difference between the church that Jesus built and denominations of men. They may seem the same, but they are not the same. They have a different owner. They were built at a different time. They were built in a different place, and they were at different names. And I'm here to tell you, they end up in different places because they are not the same. When it comes down to the church, it may seem like denominationalism is a part of the church, but it's not. And I think the world needs to know that. Jesus built the church, and in Acts 2:41, the Bible said, "Then they therefore that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them
3,000 souls."
Now underline that word, them. That were added unto
them.
Them. That word them goes back up to verse 4. Now watch verse 4. I'm in Acts 2. I'm almost finished.
And they were
And they were all
filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to,
speak
with other tongues.
As the Spirit
gave them utterance.
Don't run over them. Utterance. The 3,000 or about were added to them.
Yeah.
The them spoke in tongues. Now, who in the world are the them? Go back up to verse 26 of Acts 1. The book says,
And they gave forth
their lots,
and the lots
fell upon Matthias,
and he was numbered with the eleven
apostles. So the 11 plus Matthias makes 12.
Yeah.
So the 12 apostles were the them.
That's right.
They were added unto them.
That's right.
So what did the Lord add them to?
The church.
Well, look at verse 47. Acts 2.
Amen.
Praising God.
And having
favor. And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto
the church.
Say, wait a minute. He could have said them. But he said
the church.
The church. Why the church now? Wait a minute. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Let me show you why the church. Because people need to see this. These things may seem the same, but they're not. Denominationalism is not the same as the church of Christ. Now watch what the Lord says through Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28.
And God has set
some
in the church.
In the church.
First apostles.
Right there. What did he say in the church first?
First apostles.
Now what were they added to?
The church.
What was the church called before it was called the church?
Them.
Let me help you. I don't want you guessing all over the place. Have me preaching 15 more minutes. The Lord added unto
them.
Now before they were called them, they were called apostles.
That's right.
So the Lord had the apostles put them in the church first and added everybody else to them that made up the church.
That's right.
Now who can't see that? God's word is right. He never added anybody to denominationalism because he never built a denomination. Things that seem the same but are not the same. I'm finished. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be a Christian? I'm going to talk about that real soon. Do you want to be a Christian? If you want to be a Christian, you need to get up out of your seat right now. Come down the aisles, confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and we will baptize you for the remission of your sin, and the Lord will add you to the church of Christ. And all you need to do is be faithful until he calls you from labor to reward, or until he makes his return to receive you as his own. Song leader is ready.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Everywhere I go and preach, I always ask if the song leader is ready. Let me tell you why, and I'll take my seat. I was preaching once, and I was talking about mechanical instrumental music, and I said, the church ought to sing. That song leader jumped up and started singing. The only problem was I had not finished preaching. So what I found out was this. He was asleep. And when he heard sing, he thought I was extending the invitation. So everywhere I go, every sermon, I ask, song leader, are you ready? Somebody ought to say yes to Jesus. You want to be saved today? You can be saved today. As a matter of fact, you can be saved right now. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. I've said enough. Why not say yes to Jesus? He's calling for you.